Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, and welcome to A Sound Heart Radio. This morning's topic is entitled Western Dialectical Socialism is Mere Naked Nihilism. Now what? So I'm going to be reading this morning from the Book of Ezekiel. Ezekiel was one of the 8th century prophets, and his message was to the people of God who had been deported to Babylon. Ezekiel was among the, that is, he was 25 years old when he was deported to Babylon as a captive inside 1970 BC. And he was deported with the upper class at that time. And his deportation was what occurred 11 years before the destruction of the city of Jerusalem. So when Ezekiel had been taken to Babylon, he was there for 11 years while Jeremiah remained in Jerusalem to carry on his preaching there. Now, Daniel, on the other hand, had come to Babylon in 66 BC, and Ezekiel came 9 years later. So, Ezekiel's ministry involved telling the people about their sin, which is a very popular topic. He told the people of their sin and folly in relying upon Egypt. And so, this was their default plan. That is, they figured that if God mind you, and Nebuchadnezzar was already dealing with the people of God in Judah, and the enemy was more than at the gate. The enemy had crashed the gate, had crashed the wall, and the enemy was ever encroaching. And so an interesting attitude took place. That is, instead of calling upon God, instead of humbling themselves before their God and seeking His face and seeking His will in their current situation, they wanted to seek help from Egypt. And Egypt was in no position to help the people of God. It is not against the powerful of Babylonian forces. And the Pharaoh did not have a wherewithal, the economic wherewithal. He did not have the military manpower. In fact, he did not have the political will to fight the Babylonian army. But this was the, once again, this is the default attitude of the people of God. And so instead of faithfully relying upon God and seeking His will, this was their strategy. Now, let me say that Ezekiel 22 years preaching to the exile. His ministry was forlorn, and he dealt with the abandonment that the people felt at this time. And so the date of this writing, we can say was between 593 and 571, which was the exilic period. So once again, we have the pre-exilic period, the exilic period, and the post-exilic period. Now, yesterday I spoke from the book of Zechariah, which was a post-exilic book, and about Zechariah's night vision, which was new prophecy. That was a new prophetic event. Ezekiel, however, speaks to the people of God who were in Babylon. So, in chapter 1, we read about the vision of the glory of God. And I want to bring out a very important point about Old Testament prophecy and the individual who was called of God to deliver his word. In Hebrew, the word that the prophet spoke is called, or was called, the Devar Yahweh. So, I'm going to still explain that to you in a moment. So I'm going to read verse 1, chapter 1 of Ezekiel. In the 13th year, in the fourth month, on the fifth day, while I was among the exiles of the Kibar River, the heavens were opened, and I saw visions of God. On the fifth of the month, it was the fifth year of the exile of King Jehoiachin, the word of the Lord came to Ezekiel the priest, son of Buzi, by the Kibar River, in the land of the Babylonians. There the hand of the Lord was upon him. Now, he detailed that Ezekiel gives Nabal's scholar to know exactly what happened the year, the month, and the day. He talks about the river Kibar, which has been localized, and he in the series that on the fifth of the month was the fifth year of the exile of the Jehoiachin. Further information for scholars Berlin and Zerfan. So we can bet the Ezekiel's timeline and understand looking at the records, more than enough, just what exactly happened at that time. And indeed, Ezekiel's words are accurate. So, in verse 3, he states, the word of the Lord came to Ezekiel the priest. Now, in the Hebrew, it would be Devar Yahweh, the word of the Lord. And the word in Hebrew, what came is happened. So, the Devar. The term Devar is always modified by the article. Devar means the word as event. Devar means the word as a special happening in the life of the prophet, or Nabi. Nabi was a Hebrew word for prophet. And so this particular individual, this prophet, was taken up into the new event of the world. He, that is, his life was changed by this new happening in history. He himself became irrevocably connected to the compelling word, to the Dabar Yahweh. And this is a unique event in the midst of a particular situation. So, we get the situation-specific information at the, in the very beginning verse. And then within this particular event or situation, the Bar Yahweh happened to Ezekiel priest. A new calling, a new imperative. It is the divine imperative. Takes him up. And he now has his life with it, has a new and compelling meaning. That is a little bit of the meaning of the Dabar Yahweh. Now, this language becomes important for us to understand because of the time in which we live. We live in time. We live in the time of the dialectic, or a time of the dialectic socialism. And it is very interesting that dialects of imperialism occurred in Russia, and for over 7 years, the experiment seemed to work, but alas, dialectical imperialism collapsed. And it collapsed because of an authentic nature. There's no inherent mechanism. And it was built upon the very questionable foundation of humanism, of politics. And politics is not a science. Politics, whatever name is attached to these topics, is always a social philosophy, a particular viewpoint. And people cannot eat rhetoric, but those who are in power will be in the power elite, the force of arms, and because of their position leadership, seek to impose their will upon the people in a very negative way. The thing, however, that I note about those who are in power in this way is the blindness, the spiritual ineptitude, the belief that the power of verbal persuasion and fiat legal means will somehow, immediately they will see particular results, but in the long run, what has been forgotten conveniently so is the understanding of the presence of God as the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And there seems to be a politician seems to lack this understanding. And we see it now throughout the history of the Northern Kingdom of Israel and in the history of the Southern Kingdom that is Judah, there were some kings who understood the importance of God in their lives. But toward the end of the Kingdom of Judah, very weak and cowardly individuals ascended the throne. It didn't last long because the literally, that is the social foundation at last. And there's what had happened quickly became the politics had so weighed down, the people had so demoralized the nation that survival or lack thereof was inevitable. And so this game of socialism is an old game. It was practiced in ancient China. The government became one of the governments became unwieldy. Government sought to take over the private sector, and have people to see that everything is probably a great state. And the appropriate execution of state affairs became a building, taxation discouraged the people. It was also practiced in Rome. And my earlier illustration is it was practiced in Russia, and this inevitably collapses. So an incipient humanism cannot be maintained for a long period of time. And I draw your attention to the Lovers of History by Linda Lant, who give you an introduction to the topic of socialism. And he has these persons keep trying to use socialism as a political philosophy, but it always fails. It always fails. The nations become weak, and we see a similar pattern that follows. The moral decadence, the spiritual ineptitude of the leadership and of the people, the people become morally vacuous, and there's no more compelling vision, because socialism takes that away from the people. It takes away their purpose, it takes away meaning. And so you have the pyramid, but not in the sense of Abraham Maslow. Pyramid, the rhetoric of socialism is that if we follow socialism, then all will prosper. But that is never the reality. The rhetoric is one reality. Well, on the opposite, the rhetoric is all fiction, but in actuality, in practice, socialism is always a failure. And it becomes very disastrous. So at a point, it becomes very obvious that dialectical socialism is mere naked nihilism. And we reach the will to power. And if you want to have some understanding of the nihilism, or please make yourself familiar with the term. And those who follow this particular political viewpoint, it is obvious that nihilism is at play. And those of the political elite see something else. They are privy to something else. They are privy to the reality of the ministry personalities, ministry information that is about today. When I do not have perception that they have, about paying back. But I can see, and you can see, the way that the people are addressed today, there is this inability to speak in such a way that it's in the middle is to provide masculine assurance. I'm going to say it in that way. The West has been feminized, and no one thinks that feminism is nihilistic. But Western dialectical socialism is naked feminist nihilism. So one has to see this, but where should you see it? And there's a risk of speaking up about what this threat really is. It is more than a threat. It is the reality that that not permeates culture. It is a very deep part of the culture. Well, this is what happened in Jeremiah's day. This is what happened in Isaiah's day. This is what happened in the northern kingdom of Israel in 760 AD that appeared. And this is what happened to the southern kingdom of Judah. And until the two, about 100 to 150 years later, after the northern kingdom disappeared, Judah too will be overthrown and Jerusalem will be razed to the ground. And the temple itself will be razed. Ezekiel records the idolatrous practices that had played out in the temple of God. During the reign of King Josiah, the temple had become a place littered with leftovers and remains from this, the worship of idols. It was incredible. The temple was full of debris. And it just so happens that a copy of the Word of God, somebody who was a book of Deuteronomy, was found in the temple among the debris. Well, Solomon's temple was a type of the heart of the individual, of the heart of the believer, who began well, yet did not end well. At the end, we see that the heart is filled with debris, and among the debris of the a copy of the Word is found. The Word of God needs to be found in men. The Word of God needs to be found within the temple of our hearts once again. We need to return to the Word of God. Ezekiel calls to speak to the people of God in chapter 2. He is called to read the word. In chapter 2, verse 7, we read, "You must speak my words to them. Whether they listen or fail to listen, for they are rebellious. But you say, Son of man, listen to what I say to you. But you, Son of man, listen to what I say to you. Do not rebel like that rebellious house. Open your mouth and eat what I give you." Then I looked, and I saw a hand stretched out to me, and it was a scroll, which he unrolled before me. On both sides of it were written words of lamentation, of lament, and mourning, and woe. Chapter 3, verse 1. He said to me, "Son of man, eat what is before thee. Eat this. Then go and speak to the house of Israel, for I open my mouth, who gave me the scroll to eat." said to me, let a man eat the scroll I am giving to you and fill your mouth with it. So I ate it, and it tasted as sweet as honey in my mouth. Then he said to me, son of man, go now to the house of Israel and speak my words to them. The prophet obeys the word of God. Verse 7, we read, but the house of Israel is not willing to listen to you, because they are not willing to listen to me. The whole house of Israel is hardened and obstinate, but I will make you as unyielding and hardened as they are. I will make your forehead like the hardest stone, heart of a gentle. Do not be afraid or terrified by them when they are in the house. So God speaks to the prophet about the spiritual condition, because their hearts, that is the temple of their hearts, have been taken over by idolatrous practices. And so it would be unlikely that the word of God would find a place among the debris of the temples of their hearts. And so Ezekiel still must speak God's word to God's people, even though God knew this was, God had given him a psychological profile. God had given him the psycho-spiritual metrics of his people. God had given him the behavioral, the attitudinal and behavioral algorithm of his people so that he would know and understand that he was stepping into a very dangerous situation. But nevertheless, the mandate of the Bar Yahweh to speak, act, to do according to the will of God. To say the words of God, to speak into, that is, to speak the word of God into an impossible situation. What can shatter the earlier dialectical of postmodern socialism, the word of God? What can penetrate and shatter the feminist rhetoric of naked nihilism? Word of God. I say this to you with the greatest of friends. You must return to God. You must allow the word of God once again in our hearts. The situation demands it. The enemy is more than at the gate. The enemy is now entering in. This is a historical pattern that you can go and do. Read Gibbon's Rise and Fall of the Roman Empire. Now, it's important that many do not and have not been taught in churches, Western church history. Read church history. Read Alexander Solzhenitsyn. Read his open letter to the Patriarch of all Russia about allowing the atheists to come in to run the church. It was Solzhenitsyn's conviction upon understanding that further silence is impossible. I pray to God that he would raise up others who would have Solzhenitsyn's conviction that further silence is impossible. My name is Dr. Josiah Rich. God bless you this day.